Oh, I wanna save you. Oh, I wanna save you. Oh, I wanna save you is mine. Until at the most, he's so wonderful and glorious. Oh, I wanna save you is mine. Oh, I wanna save you. Oh, I to save you. Oh, I to save you is mine. Until at the most, he's so wonderful and glorious. Oh, I to save you is mine. Oh, I to save you. Oh, I to save you. Oh, our Savior is mine. Until at the most, he's so wonderful and glorious. Oh, our Savior is mine. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I sing complete the name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. For we have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord.
I started out to follow Jesus many years ago.
The road was sometimes slippery and my steps were often slow. I met with opposition, didn't quite know what to do. But I made up my mind to make it true. Before the first round started, I said I'll fight until I win. I might even get knocked down, but I'll get up again. I'll control the tempo, for I can't afford to lose. And I made up my mind to make it true. The years have come and they have gone, the battle has grown old. My mind's made up to win this fight, my faith has not grown cold. The joy of the Lord is still my strength, my confidence is true. And I made up my mind to make it true. Before the first round started, I said I'll fight until I win. I might even get knocked down, but I'll get up again. I'll control this simple, for I can't afford to lose. And I made up my mind to make it through. The years have come and they have gone, the battle has grown old. My mind's made up to win this fight, my faith has not grown cold. The joy of the Lord is still my strength, my confidence is true. And I've made up my mind to make it true. Before the first round started, I said I'll fight until I win. I might even get knocked down, but I'll get up again. I'll control this temple, for I can't afford to lose. And I've made up my mind to make it true.
There are decisions
I can't make on my own. And there are trials I can't face all alone. But you said you walk with me down life's troubled road. And you said, come unto me, I'll bear your heavy load. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need you more. Let me feel your gentle hand leading the way. Yesterday has come and gone with those trials far behind. But I'm ever learning, Lord, and every day I find I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, I need you more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need you more today. When I wake up in the morning and I fear to face the day, let me be your gentle hand leading the way. Yesterday has come and gone with those trials far behind. But I'm ever learning, Lord, and every day I find I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need you more today. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more party over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Can I sing that song? Please just say, we have come into this house. And here says, we have come into his house.
Mm-hmm.
And it resonated actually the last couple of times. We have come into his house. It's his house.
Mm-hmm.
Everything here on this planet is his.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say? He just borrowed it to us. It's just borrowed. It's just alien as goo.
Yeah.
It's borrowed property here on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We take it for granted. Many times we think it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's his. He gave it to us. He gave us this house.
You're only borrowed, but for a while.
Yeah, that's it. Gotta remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes one little word, his. We have come into this house, but to take the T out.
Mm-hmm.
We have come into his house. You gotta go down in your soul. Everything is his. He borrows it to us.
I never claim ownership to nothing.
I know.
Really, to tell you the truth.
I'm not saying.
I know, I'm
not saying you think it's your house. No,
there's a lot of people who claim ownership to things.
Yeah, I'm just as
good. I've never been much of a claiming ownership.
Yeah, it can grab a hold of you and think it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time we met, it's his.
When you do that, actually, the real gratitude comes out, you know.
Yeah.
When you don't claim ownership of something, and you realize that it's only borrowed, but for a little while, and you become grateful for what God borrows you. When you claim ownership to something, there's no need to feel grateful for anything. You know what I'm saying? There is a difference.
Yeah, big time.
Mm-hmm.
We have come into his house, mm-hmm. and then because it's his house, when he moves us on somewhere else, well, we got no regrets. That house is going to be his too, or wherever he moves us to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's easy to let go then. But if you claim ownership, my house, my house, my car, my car, mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. my this, my that,
mm-hmm.
it's only bored for about a while.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that attitude and that mindset, then everything in this world, I mean, these houses that are demolished out on the west coast there with its floods, and these tornadoes everywhere, mm-hmm. destruction, well... We claim it as their own, you know, and then it's gone, and it's all a lot of weeping and crying over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And there's greed involved. We don't need much.
No, you don't.
It's amazing how little a person needs. Because I can face tomorrow, because you live. All fear is gone,
because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. And life is worth a living just because you live. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days. Because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day across the river, I'll fight life's fighting the war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Ein und Strom, das ein Heilige flew. Please wander my stille Dirk's land, Dirk strahlt and glänzt mit feurige Glut. Wen ist dieses Wasser bekannt? O Seele, bitte dich komm, und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtiglich, O Glaube, es fließt für dich. Wohin diesen Strom sich nur immer gießt, da jubelt und jauchzt das Herz, nun mehr in den köstlichen Segen genießt, erlöset von Sorgen und Schmerz. It's wonderful how it flows through the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it hits every nook and every cranny. Who knows about this stream? When it says as Vasapikan, that it says, soul, I beg you, come and look for this heavenly stream. The water flows free and mightily. Oh, believe it. It flows for you. And the water of life is the message for your day.
Mm-hmm.
That stream. When Brother Brennan was here, that stream flowed out of his lips.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands upon thousands of people came all over the world to hear him. And he goes off the scene, that stream keeps coming, keeps going. It
mm-hmm.
never stops. And it's still the message for your day. And then he goes off the scene, that stream can no longer run through Brother Brennan's lips. It went through Brother Jackson's lips. And the host said, came and sat under there, man, living where we have a blessing. And I came on around 1995 or somewhere around there, 96. And man, did I... Like those fetid casts
mm-hmm.
Malachi talks about. They never used to know what it is. It's talking spiritual. Fetid casts. And when Jack goes off the scene, that stream goes still running. And you can go out there and look, see if you find it somewhere. It's right here. This stream, this river of life is flowing right here. And if you don't believe me, go look. I challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to them all.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they have to say. You can tap in. You can go in on your internet, and you can go listen. You're free to do so. I listen to Fred. I've had nightmares. I listened to him. Elephant. It took me 4 or 5 hours to recover once I blurted me out of there. And, this is that stream. It is unintentional. See, we don't have to lie. I know that stream. It's right here. When it says, I know that stream, if I sign it strong, you know, I know where it is. It's right here. If it wasn't here, I'd gladly go sit where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gladly sit down at Fred's. Mm-hmm. I'd even move down there if that's where it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have to move there because it's all on the internet. I would tap into them every Sunday. But that's not where it's at. But I challenge everyone, go see, go check for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take what I say. Go out, check it out like I did. And the Lord honed us out from before the foundation of the world to continue on where Brother Jex left off. Yeah, it's so simple. The message for your day, mm-hmm. you don't have to go out running after all these donkeys and all this hallelujah stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's the message for your day. Spend 24/7, if you haven't found it.
Mm-hmm.
Put all your energy in to find the message for your day. That's what it's always been. What's that where it says in Peter there, right? Read it the other day, where not keep your negligence of this present, of the present truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thinking about that, that's
2 Peter 1:12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you all in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth.
There it is. Though you know them. I will not be negligent to let you know this. I can repeat it over and over and over again. The message for your day.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew not.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize it was standing before them. But they didn't know the message for their day with Jesus Christ back in the day. They did not know.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing today. Everything will go like will all slip over on into eternity, and people will not have known.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad part of it.
And
you've been here.
You tried to tell it to people, and they know I don't want to go there.
I've been beating the drum for 30 years, telling people Jesus is coming in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 74 years old.
They'll beat on every other drum, but not the real drum. It's just the way it is. It's always been like that.
You don't want people to be, like Peter said, I will not be negligent to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Remind you of this present truth.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the voice of Peter? Was the present truth, the apostles,
mm-hmm.
and their hour? That's what was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus' hour was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's hour was the apostles. Down it went. And this hour started out Brother Branham. And he went off the scene, and that stream kept flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And right, Brother Jex. And now here it is. I wish I could have the luxury of being able to sit again under somebody that I knew was that living stream.
Mm-hmm.
It was a glorious time for me.
It was.
And think back about it. And it wasn't, the anointing was everywhere where these people preached and believed him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were sitting under his canopy.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes off the scene, and of course, if you've been listening to these conversations, you know what happened. We're the only two people that know what happened
mm-hmm.
after Brother Jackson left.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
And it's explained on these conversations. It never missed a beat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went in. Once when Brother Jack left the scene, he was trying to move on Ellen and Bud to continue with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Then what God wants, not what Ellen wants. Then 3 years they failed and continued with Tim Rolliford. I know he did. He invested so much in that man. And that fell by the wayside. But see, all the while God was testing people.
Mm-hmm.
And now we could say, here it is. But like I say, have at it. Go check him out. We're not saying this because we want to sin.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying it because it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. And before us He has placed an open door. God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. And before us He has placed an open door. God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. And before us He has placed an open door.
There is a place I read about in God's holy word.
It's built upon the mountainside in New Jerusalem. Its walls around the city are in layers of pure gold. 12 gates along the walls and every one a single pearl. The glory of that city would blind his human eye. More glory still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. In garments pure and white as snow will gather round the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls untold are mansions of pure gold. Where death is vanished for all times, we'll never more grow old. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. All worries will be gone and every pain will be left behind. The glory of that city will blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. In garments pure and white as snow will gather round the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls untold are mansions of pure gold. Where death is vanished for all time, we'll never more grow old. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. All worries will be gone and every pain will be left behind. The glory of that city will blind the human eye. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will gather round the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Proverbs 1, verse 20. I guess everybody's wondering, where's God in all these disasters?
Mm-hmm.
Out to B.C. and question. Everybody wants to ask them, where's God in all this? They like to blame God for all this.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder, where's God in it all? And then they see these tremendous storms going through the Midwest and snow out in California and people that sometimes go on social media and see what the people say.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they like to blame God for it all, but then they blame it on climate change and they got no answers. Well, the answers is right here in wisdom. Wisdom's rebuke. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. We heard the Lord speaking. First, he should come out of her, my people, you know. That's the voice, that's mm-hmm. that's his voice in the public square. Top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts on you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you regard all my advice, and I'll stop there for now. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand. That's what the Lord's been doing at the 60s, mm-hmm. over and over and over again. When America rejected the prophets of the age, when the churches turned their back on the prophet, on which was really the message for their day, for America. Had the preachers of America, the church of America, accepted the prophet for their day, man, it would be a beautiful country they were living in. Mm-hmm. But see, when they rejected the message that God had for America, the prophet of the day, then God had no other option but just to, people have a choice to make. Church rejected it. And guess what? Satan was given the key. You can go back and do the, and you can look, you can where crime started to rise in America, mm-hmm. but back in the 60s, just right after they rejected the prophet. And it was like, if I could give you a visual on it, up until the 60s, America was mm-hmm. a great place to be.
I know you can hear, sometimes when you hear people talking about it, about things, about the crimes and how things came into America and when, you will most of the time hear them will say in the 60s.
Yeah.
They will say in the 60s, but they do not know why.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they try to repent and they don't know what to repent of. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been screaming from the housetops for, I don't know, last 10 years, it's because they rejected the prophet. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell that to anybody.
No.
You rejected water baptism in Jesus' name. See, back in them days, it was time for God to move the church ahead.
Yes,
it was, mm-hmm. and He couldn't move it without mm-hmm. the recognition of that water baptism. Mm-hmm. That was the key. That was through the 4 hours. They just shall live by faith and then holiness. And now we're coming up to the forks in the road,
mm-hmm.
and it was baptism in Jesus' name, which God wanted to institute through William Branham.
That's that open door. When you read in the Church Age Philadelphia, there was an open door for people to go into more revelation. And they didn't go in, a lot of them. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
At the ending of the Church Age, going into Laodicea, there was an open door. Revelations 3:8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou has a little strength and has kept my word and has not denied my name. See, that was going into more revelation.
Yeah.
When closing out of the age of Philadelphia, going into the age of Laodicea, there was, God was mm-hmm. going to open up more revelation.
Move ahead.
Move ahead, yeah.
Move on. Mm-hmm. And then it came up to a stop sign. But then that said there was a fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
Water baptism in Jesus' name or the church had decided to take that other, take the wrong turn back in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they rejected the prophet of the age. In fact, I think there was something like 240 denominations represented there at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually going to try to stop Brother Branham from preaching. That was that whole meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But the pillar of fire showed up. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, when you reject what God has for you in your hour. Mm-hmm. You're going into darkness. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. Satan takes over. And it was like, I've explained it before, it was like Jesus had the key to America.
Mm-hmm.
The future of America lay in right in that decision that they're going to make there. And when they made a wrong decision, like Jesus had to give, just simple saying, have to give the key to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's as simple as I can put it.
Yeah,
and there, and right after that in the 60s, they started to take the prayer out of school, took the Bible out of school,
mm-hmm.
put these phony Supreme Court judges in, and president upon after president. That Johnson, he was the most corrupt president ever was. Maybe even more corrupted than this guy that is there now.
Yeah,
that's
possible. He was an evil guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the consequences of what happened in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord, when they turned Jesus out of the churches, rejected him. God didn't die. God kept on going.
Mm-hmm.
And then one morning he woke up that Curtis Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
And give him a song, 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, "That was a very inspirational time in my life. And something came down and gave me that song to write. People get ready. There's a train coming.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need no baggage. You just get on board."
Mm-hmm. All you need is faith.
All you need is faith to hear those diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. Like, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
You just thank the Lord. Really, that's all you can do at the end of it. Just
right.
Thank the Lord.
Right.
Then it says, people get ready for that train to Jordan. It's real. Like
mm-hmm.
there is really a spiritual train out there.
It is.
Taking people to Jordan for whosoever will.
Mm-hmm.
Or that train to Jordan. It's picking up passengers from coast to coast. There's people that heard that voice. There's people in Brother Brown's hour that heard them. They got on board.
Mm-hmm.
There's people in Brother Jackson's hour. They got on board. You and I, we heard Brother Jackson. We heard that invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Get on that train to Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
It's picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key. It's all it takes is faith.
Open the doors
and board them.
Mm-hmm.
There's room for all. Open those that are loved the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on when the churches closed the door to the Lord, to this prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Lord kept on going, and where did he go? He went out around the world more than ever. People get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for what? For the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then
people cry out, like I was talking to this lady. She got the coronavirus and she felt in the spiritual darkness. And she was crying out to God and she was saying Psalms 91, "Why is there pestilence near my door? I try to serve you. I try to live for you." And I said, "Well, what about Acts 2:38? Oh, I don't want to go there.
See, that's
still rejecting.
Mm-hmm.
That's still rejecting. And how do you help people? You know, you can only tell them what you know.
See, that is this love thing, this love world we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
Love, love, love. Everybody talks
mm-hmm.
about love. And the only thing I find in the Bible to love people, when you care for somebody, you tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been trying to tell people the truth. And what do? They run you out of town.
Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's the true love. Because I know my mom had tough love when I was growing up. But now when I look back, I appreciate that tough love more, because it's that kind of a love that will keep you persevering
mm-hmm.
and enduring to the end. It's not a showering of gifts and giving you all kinds of things and luxuries that will see you through the hard times. It's a tough love when somebody teaches you something. It is for your benefit and tells you something for the future, what you will be going through in the future. Like, what kind of other love is there? I don't know of any other love. I really don't. You want that kind of love where people care enough for you that your soul will, for your soul. What is a better way for someone to care for you than care for your soul and tell you the truth about water baptism? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Other than that, how can you be remitted of sins?
I had a priest literally chase me out of his home because I told him he just got baptized by that Schultz who was here. And I said, well, we'll have to get baptized again. He was ready to throw me out of his house.
Mm-hmm.
I told him right to his face, I tell you what, I'd rather you throw me out of your house for telling you the truth
mm-hmm.
than tell you a lie and you whine and dine me.
Exactly.
So I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's been going on since the 60s.
Yeah.
Rejection. And you wonder, why are these things happening? Well, when we've been done with this, up till now, the Lord's been
beckoning.
Beckoning, mm-hmm. pleading, mm-hmm. begging. He's done it, bent over backwards. He sent a prophet. He sent an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people trying to implement this, but they call them cults. They call them this, that, and the other. But whatever they do, like for myself, I took that open door. I knew that Hunter, I think, was not it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went searching, and I found. Mm-hmm. I found the message of Brother Brent. And I accepted the message for today. Because Brother Brenham said, if America would have accepted the message for their day, there would be no need for hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proof of that. I got an attack one time, I told you, down on loading augers, and I got an attack, and I said, Lord, I've done everything I know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet said, if you believe the message for your day, there's no need for hospitals. I believe that. Lord, there's no need for me to go to the hospital with this pain in my...
Mm-hmm.
In my I think I had a stone passing, and the Lord came on the scene right there, down in the state of Illinois, and He took the pain away, and simply because I stuck to that word, Lord, You said, there'd be no need for hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And I accepted the prophet. I accepted that open door. I walked through that open door, and I got the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
About 6 years ago, He told me about, He reminded me of, Psalm 91, about these pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
I've claimed that ever since then. Now, this COVID comes through, we're all ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have a whiff on us, because we haven't even had as much as a touch.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 2-3 weeks ago, something came over me for about 10 seconds, a spirit of fear,
mm-hmm.
and I rebuked that thing.
Mm-hmm.
that thing can't come on, mm-hmm. because I claim the Lord gave me Psalm 91.
Absolutely.
And I've stood on it.
Uh-huh.
There's no way that that pestilence can come nigh our dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says. And the word is above any pestilence. In fact, the word is even above God.
Yeah.
God is account for His word. He
mm-hmm.
said, I put my word above my very mm-hmm. name. But see, in the sense of six is what I'm trying to say, what mm-hmm. the Lord has been doing. He's been bending over backwards. He's putting out these songs. The sound of silence. Go home and listen to that sound of silence. Listen to that voice it's out there. It's in the heavens. The angel is saying, come out of here, my people.
Mm-hmm.
And what the people do, they keep rejecting. They keep rejecting. And every time you reject them, you become harder. You become like granite
right.
around your heart.
Right.
And your heart becomes so hard that next time the Lord wants to teach you, he's practically got to take a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
Then people that get sick and end up in the hospital, and for a while, they're a little bit softened up, but then along comes the Lord again with His voice, and what did they do? They hardened themselves to the point that nothing can reach them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can go on that, and the Lord has to just sit back and watch it happen, and nothing
right.
He can do,
that's
because
right.
He has given mankind a freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot bypass that choice.
Mm-hmm. And he has his ordinances that he goes. He can't say one thing and do another. He's not harsh.
Yeah.
He's not. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He stands by his word.
That's why they're asking, "Where's Lord? Where's God in all
mm-hmm.
of this?" You know, and then a lot of the derogatory things to say about
yes,
God
uh-huh.
because He allows it. Well, what has He been doing in the last 60 years, practically?
Mm-hmm.
And this just kept going on, and the Lord been beckoning and pleading. Sometimes He lets a little bit of a disaster happen, like 911, to get people wake up a bit, And then after a month or two, they go back on the same old gutter.
Exactly.
Instead of searching, Lord, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, if they're really serious, you know where it'll take them to? It'll take them exactly to where it took you and I. Right back to that rejection of Brother Branham.
Amen.
But the message here today. Mm-hmm. And it's still here today. It's still here today. Mm-hmm. That stream, like we're singing that strong, that song about Evizan and Shalom, that stream is still flowing today. Mm-hmm. Full bore. God is not responsible if you don't take it.
Mm-hmm. It's like putting a bandage over.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting a bandage over something. You, a disaster hits and people start praying and calling out to God and then going to church. And when things go good again, they just put a bandage on it, on the wound, and then go their merry way again. Instead of going back to the root cause of things. That's like the Medicare system here. They'll never go to the root of things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to go to the root of things because they want you coming back and giving you more drugs and more drugs and giving you more jabs, so that at the end of the day, you're not even a functional human being. You're something else. And that's what people miss. That you have to go to the root problem.
Yeah, and see what happens after 9-1. They went to church.
Mm-hmm.
The worst place they could go is to church.
Yeah.
They should kneel on their knees.
Exactly.
Cry out to the Lord. And the Lord would do what he did with us.
Mm-hmm.
That church, it sought my destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to spend hours and days, nights on my knees, praying,
right,
finding what the solution is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord just led me. He led me through the denomination. He led me to the ministry of Brother Red, because in deep in my soul, my heart, I wanted something.
Mm-hmm.
I was searching.
That's right. Because when I was down and out, I was still on the Hutterite colony, I was like down and out. I saw no future in it. Just a bleak life. No future, no inspiration. And they can watercolor coat it all they want. I know what I felt on the Hutterite colony. And then I didn't find comfort going over to church.
Yeah.
I didn't find comfort there. You know where I found comfort? On my knees, crying out to God, what am I missing, Lord? I need you. I want you. I need something more. And then he gave me the book from Brother Branham.
Yeah.
And I was convicted all night long. I was convicted about that water baptism.
See,
and I
that's
had
a key.
Yes, and I knew why when I was baptized on the colony in the Trinity, I felt like I did. I went home crying, desperately crying, and like somebody was putting me in a cage, free into a cage. And then I realized what that baptism was all about. A control factor.
Yeah.
A control.
The devil.
Yeah, the devil has you in his clutches, and the people do not even know it. And I was convicted all night long about this water baptism, and I prayed, God, make a way for me to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was in the morning hours when finally I felt a relief in my spirit. Like almost like you had, I broke through.
Mm-hmm.
Then God heard me, and then
He's going to make it happen.
And He was going to make it happen, and He did. And that's
about a year later.
Mm-hmm. And no, a couple of months. Actually, half a year later.
Yeah.
But that's what people miss, and that's what we want.
That's what we've been trying to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't start that with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's the only way I can help you. I'm sorry. There's one, because she always cried her blues about her aches and pains.
Mm-hmm.
So then you told her, well, you need to get baptized.
Mm-hmm. I thought, well, if I tell her that, you know, it'll do at least one of the two things. It will not she will not tell me all her aches and pains anymore, or she's going to go do it.
Yeah.
And but she continually told me her aches and pains. I was going like, am I not coming through here or something?
Yeah.
I said, well, you know what I will tell you. So what's the point in me keep telling me your problems? because I'm just going to tell you, I can only tell you the same story. And I was wondering here one day, is there something, a chromosome missing? Is there something missing? And the Lord spoke to me, no, it's that water baptism. That's her problem.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I for years, I've been hounding the Lord. Like I was terminated mm-hmm. in the colony simply because I was too, because I told the truth, really.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
But then in all, the Lord led me to, the first scripture gave me, there's one faith, one baptism, and one God. And mm-hmm. that's why I studied. Anyway, finally I did, after maybe 2-3 years, I finally did come to the ministry of Brother Branham, and I did get baptized. But then afterwards, sometime later, I came back to Manitoba, and all these years, I was hounding the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. Why is it, Lord, that the Hutterites, nice people, mm-hmm. why is it when it comes to Christianity, they're vicious?
Mm-hmm.
There's no mercy whatsoever. They'll take a dad away from their children, young children, and just 39 below zero, just terminated, mm-hmm. out with nothing. Just like worse than animals, mm-hmm. they treat Christians. And I could not figure out that. I said, Lord, there's going to be a root problem here mm-hmm. somewhere. And I've hounded the Lord for years. I think it must have been at least 3-4 years. And one day, I was coming from Saskatchewan to Manitoba. I know exactly where it was. My front wheels were on the border, Manitoba, and the rear wheels were still in Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
That's how quick it happened.
Mm-hmm.
The baptism.
Mm-hmm.
They got this Catholic baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And that Catholic baptism, I can't express that long, hard enough how diabolic that satanic
mm-hmm.
Baptism is. Like, I never used to, we used to celebrate Christmas, but the last 10 years I haven't celebrated. I didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I get so miserable and so downcast, so depressed mm-hmm. around Christmas time. And as the Lord led me to the ministry of Brother Branham, and as I ventured out, I found out it's because that Christmas prior to Nicaea Rome, there was no sign of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's what Constantine used to trap, to join the Christians and the sun worshippers together
mm-hmm.
to make it all one.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's a Christian.
Why do they think they have these big balls on the Christmas tree and these things? That is all representing the sun.
Yeah.
The sun worshiping the sun.
Yeah, actually, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, why do people don't think? Because I was the same way. I was miserable at Christmas time too. Like I had the whole family around me, and everybody should be happy, but I was not, and I didn't know why. And it wasn't until you told me about that vision you had about the persecuted Christians back in that day who didn't want to fall, who didn't fall into the Constantine
mm-hmm.
decree of everybody is now a Christian with that water baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he made a decree that and now everybody is a Christian. And he made everybody in his army be baptized. And
Satan's baptism.
Mm-hmm. And that's and
it's
then
a counterfeit.
And then as slowly he maneuvered that Christ's birthday into that sun worshipper's day because that's when the sun starts coming back. And then they celebrated that worshipping of the sun. And people, all they need to do is study a little bit of history where all that comes from. And you can take it back to Babylon. You can take it to those gods at the days of Nimrod. These same spirits just transform into a different,
mm-hmm.
into something different. And then when Catholicism came about, Roman Catholicism, they took those three God-worshipping and it transformed it into their concept of worship. And people fall for it on a daily day.
They don't even know it. They don't go celebrate Christmas. And they don't even stop and think why.
And they,
oh, it's Christ's birthday.
Uh-huh. They don't think nothing of it.
Constantine used that to suck people into his diabolical satanic baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And now he said everybody's a Christian now. It was really the spirit of Satan behind it because he had one ambition in mind, to kill that Acts 2:38.
Absolutely.
To destroy Acts 2:38, scriptural water baptism by repenting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. First you repent, and you get baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan was after that thing because he knew that is the
key.
That's the key. That is the foundation of Christianity. Acts 2 verse 38. Mm-hmm. And that's what the churches of America rejected back in the 60s. God had patience. He let everything go through the dark ages. He let the Roman Catholic Church just terrorize, just butchered and killed and slaughtered thousands upon thousands of Christians. Mm-hmm. And here, that's why I was depressed at Christmas time. On the blood of those Christians that died because they did not join that Constantine hour back in that in the beginning of this the birth. I call it the birth, Satan's birth of Satan's baptism, the birth of Satan's baptism.
And you don't mean to knock the Hutterites down. That's not our intentions to knock them down. But we know the spirit behind that baptism. Mm-hmm. We know where it originated from. Mm-hmm. It did not originate from the early church. And that's why Satan has a hold on them. That's why they have no protection because of that baptism. And they use their forefathers as an example. But what we want them to understand and to make clear is God moves. He's continually moving. He didn't stop at 15:20 when he revealed the revelation that just shall live by faith. He didn't stop there. There was more things to be revelated. Now they can't go back to the
1500s.
To the 1500s there. They can't go back there. God is requiring whatever he has revealed in your hour, day and hour. He's going to require that of you. And he's going to ask, did you know the truth for your day and hour? Did you follow up with the truth that I revealed in your day and hour? Did you line yourself up with the word of God, with the truth that I have revealed, that I've taken so... like the pains that he took for Brother Branham and all these revelators in the past, how he in his great council he made a plan that he's going to do that, and they're rejecting that. They'll have no excuse because God has now restored water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 1500s, in the 1600s, in the 1700s, the 1800s, they could still get away with it. Mm-hmm. God had not required that of them. But now, when the 1900s came in, Azusa Street, Topeka, Kansas, 1933, when Brother Branham was baptizing at the Ohio River there, that was now implemented. This is what God is going to require now. Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, because that has now been restored.
Mm-hmm. And it's being rejected. And then, just to prove that these churches is the worst thing you can go to, that angel, when I saw another mighty angel flying through the heaven, and he says, come out of her, my people. Mm-hmm. Come out of these church systems.
Mm-hmm.
That's, great is the Lord that judges her.
That's right.
And there's not enough you can say what the Lord's been doing from the 60s. He went into the rock and rolls, into the hippie movement. Mm-hmm. Oh, what would God do there? Well, it's the only place he could go.
Mm-hmm.
He loves people. Cares about people. The church has kicked him out. Mm-hmm. Is he going to break the door down and pull his way in there? No, he's just going to go down the street. Out to the lame and to the blind and wherever, and he went into this rock and roll where all these kids now in the 60s, they all left home.
Mm-hmm.
Now the devil has the key, and he lures him in into the hippie movement. Mm-hmm. But yet, in that hippie movement, there's also God.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a song being sung. People get ready. In the midst of all that filth, all this rock and roll song, all this drug, all this free sex, in the midst of that, there's that song, yeah. People Get Ready. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't go messing around with women and doing drugs when your God is pleading people get ready. Mm-hmm. Some got it. I know, I was caught up in that movement back then. And I know some people, they never did get caught up in the sex and then the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It just, unless I guess they like the songs or whatever, the lyrics. But I know quite a few people, they never fell for into that trap. In fact, they had more morals than I was hanging out with these people that I worked with. The 3 years I was gone, we never went to the bar. We had no desire to go to the bar. I think we went one time, this one guy had a birthday. Somebody wanted to celebrate his birthday, but it's the only time I remember going to a bar. And all the 3 years is gone. I had one bottle of beer. I bought a case of beer and one in my bed, and I took one bottle. What am I doing with that stuff? And when I moved out, I just left it here. I gave it away. I don't know. But I had no use for alcohol. But that's what God's been doing in the 60s. And then, like I say, 9/11 happened. They got a little bit of a shake-up, but not really serious. Had it been serious, they would have found that open door that we found. Yeah. They would have found a minister, Brother Brennan. But how many really are really serious? You see these Reawaken America. You see these people with tears. You see how they get all worked up. And it's just emotions. But how many of all these people are really serious about what's wrong in America? Not one of them will ever mention one thing. They rejected the prophet. And there they go, doing their powwows, doing their Reawakening America, doing their prayers. I saw the Lord when one of them was on, he was like, you know, when you shake your hand,
And nobody's hitting the bullseye.
Yeah. Nobody's coming to it. What about this? We went wrong. And see, here's Mike Lindley. He goes right up to the board to expose the fraud. And then here's Arizona. They got all the edits done. Nothing's happening. God, it's not going to let nothing happen until you get to the source of your problem. They can repent all they want. It doesn't mean nothing. It's like you go out to kill a person. And then you repent for going to the bar. You know, you repent for killing a person, not for going to the bar. And here's the same thing: they repent for marriage. They repent for this. They got a day of prayer somewhere, during some down in Washington, and all for nothing. Doesn't mean a thing because they're not going to the source.
Exactly. It's like whenever I think about that, I think about that story of David. There was a famine in the land. And he didn't know why there was a famine in the land. So he inquired of God. He wanted an answer from God. He didn't put in more irrigation systems and this and that and the other. No, he went on his knees and inquired of God, why is there a famine? And God told him it's because of the blood that Saul shed with the Gibeonites. And then he called the Gibeonites, what do you want? So you can bless Israel. Whatever you're going to request, that will stop that famine, and that's going to bless Israel. He wanted Israel to be blessed. And that's the way America needs to inquire of God, where did we go wrong, so that we can be blessed. So God can bless us once again. Where did we go wrong? And then
they get drawn by rejecting the prophet. Like David, he was serious. Where did we go wrong? Well, he got this, Saul shed his innocent blood. And they brought that innocent blood, paid it for Israel.
That's right.
But that innocent blood was shed under Saul's watch. And he killed all these Gibeonites. So he went to the Gibeonites, I guess, and he asked, what can we do for you? What can we do so that God would take this curse off the nation? And there's Gibeonites. We want 7 of Saul's members, family members. That's all we want. And they gave him the 7 and they hung him up on the lynching post. And there, then the famine stopped.
That's right.
But he went to the Lord and he inquired, and the same thing, people don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
What did they do? They go to church and think that preacher's going to tell them anything?
No.
When he's the problem?
So that's the hardcore truth about these things, you know?
We tell them, right? We see what God did. Where's God? He's exactly where he's been. He's wooing, he's trying. And then he goes on to say, How long will How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? Who's been mocked more than you and I? Mm-hmm. Especially me, you know. I go downtown. The first thing they do is mock.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a, mm-hmm. like it's a daily routine mock.
Mm-hmm.
And when they mock the Lord. How long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge. Is repentant by rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts on you. I will make known to you my teachings. He's been doing that for 60 years.
That's right.
People get ready. The sound of silence. These are all beckoning. Just listen to your inner man. Just listen to your conscience. There's voices out there. Just listen to it. That angel is crying, flying through the heavens with a everlasting God. Come out of her, my people. It's out there. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard my advice and do not accept my rebuke, here is what's going on with these floods, with these storms, with these volcanoes, with these hurricanes. I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm. That's where he's at. He's out there laughing and mocking. Because what have they done for 60 years? Mock God. Every chance they get, they figure out new ways how they can tick him off, you know.
Despise him. Mm-hmm.
Despise him and mock him. I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Now the shoe is on the other foot.
Mm-hmm.
When calamity overtakes you like a storm. I was watching on YouTube there, this farmer, this storm going through Kansas, and then the fire broke out and destroyed herds of cattle and the farmyards and barns and everything. And I saw this interview they had with this farmer, and he was crying, and we're just rebuilding, because that's all we have, because we just have to rebuild again. Can't give up now.
Mm-hmm.
Not one word about what has been the Lord trying to teach you over the years? Not one word about the Lord trying to
mm-hmm.
call him to repentance, because it's out there. All you got to do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I said that back in that song, we have come into his house.
Mm-hmm.
Was that really his farm? Was that God's farm? Did he dedicate that farm to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Was he grateful every morning when he got up? For a job and for a property that God gave him to test him.
Mm-hmm.
I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm. When disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind. When distress and trouble overwhelm you. It's bad enough as it is.
It is.
And then having the Lord mock you
mm-hmm.
and laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
Then they will call on me, but I will not answer.
Mm-hmm.
They will look for me, but I will not, but will not find me. See? Today is the day of salvation. Today, back then, you don't go looking for the Lord when that door is closed.
Mm-hmm.
So there comes a time when he closes that door for opportunity. You look for him like we did in a time of peace. There's something not right, Lord. I want to know. There's things I want to know. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hate the knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their sins.
Mm-hmm.
For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoso listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And that's what you have done. We have prepared back in the late 80s, early 90s, the Lord came to me 2 o'clock in the morning. Woke me up. Said, Sam said it twice. Sam, I'm coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, I'm coming soon. And next morning I told my wife about it. And that's been my message for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since the early 90s. The Lord is coming. Prepare
mm-hmm.
yourself. It's coming in my generation. But what did they do? They turned you out. What did I get terminated for? I told these people I need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Take them out of here. You got till sundown to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't even discuss it. And then you wonder why these issues arise, and it'll get worse. It'll come to a place where I read the other day where the electric burned down their cities. Because they reject, the final rejection of all rejections is this here message, the message to the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And you can go and read it. What's he going to do? It's over. I think it's in Matthew 22. What is he going to do with these people that rejected the message? They rejected it back then. Brother Branham, they rejected the prophet of the age. But they keep rejecting. Mm-hmm. They keep rejecting. Mm-hmm. And they keep rejecting. Mm-hmm. And now, this is the rejection of all rejections. If they reject this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Katie barred the door. This is what he'll do. What's he going to do with them? He's going to go in there, and he's going to destroy these murderers, and he's going to burn down their cities. Mm-hmm. Exactly what it is. Isn't that what it says over in Matthew?
It's in Matthew 22:7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities.
See, that's common. But that's the rejection. How long have I been beating the drum, sounding the alarm? Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, you stay away from that crazy guy. You can't even talk to him. If you be seen talking to him, you're going to get houseless. Mm-hmm. You're going to get terminated yourself. Well, it doesn't bother me. I'm making out fine. But see, it's the spirit of driving it. That's what you're trying to explore. Mm-hmm. I got nothing against those people.
No.
That's why I couldn't get over it. I said, Lord, these are good people. Why are they like that when it comes to Christianity? It's that baptism. And the only way to get out of that thing is to deny your that diabolical satanic baptism and get baptized in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And then everything is good. That's all you got to do. But the devil knows that, and he's keeping the door shut so this can't happen. And he also talks about over in Isaiah 65. Everybody should read that. Mm-hmm. Here it says, "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My servants will eat." That's Isaiah 65, verse 13. "But you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame." Who are they? They are the ones that reject and reject and reject and mock and mock and mock. "And my servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry for the anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit." That's what I saw these people, this farmer do, wailing. And all these homes that are flooded out, people are wailing. That's their pride and joy. Some of them just rebuilt. Some of them just built a brand new house. And it's all done, all gone. They got to destroy it. Mm-hmm. "My servants will sing out of joy, but you will cry from the anguish of your hearts and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name for my chosen one to use in their curses. The Sovereign Lord will put you to death." See? How many died in that storm? There's
quite a few. Mm-hmm.
70 or something. "The Sovereign Lord will put you to death, but to his servants he will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes." See? Back in the day, like the Lord told us, get ready for this day. We did. Mm-hmm. We did everything we possibly could. On top of that, we warned people. We did everything we possibly could. Just like Trump. He did everything he possibly could to bring America back to America. Mm-hmm. And what did they do on January 6th? What did they do? There's only 6, maybe 8 politicians that thought we should at least look at that election again. The rest, they couldn't wait to dump them.
Yes.
From one of the world. Everything he done, done for them.
Mm-hmm.
That Lindsey Graham and that other bum, that Mitch McConnell.
Even
that
Chuck Grassley, you know, they're all backstabbers, you know. It's only a few faithful ones that
God
are right there.
That.
Like, see, in the second chapter of Proverbs, it says, "Wisdom delivers from evil, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest of her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the fear of the knowledge of God. See, that's what people don't want. They don't want that the real hard truth.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to complain about. There's really nobody to blame but yourself. If you
proof
don't,
is in the pudding. Look what we've done and look how good we got it. And then to top it off, the Lord gives you that scripture. Go at your home.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what's going on out there. He says, just go home until my fury is back. Mm-hmm. That is God's fury.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm.
And you can read it over and where you get it, Isaiah?
Isaiah 26:20, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the Lord says, go into your dwelling, go into your chamber and close the door and wait until the Lord's fury is over.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got that, what, when did you get about a month ago? Something?
It first got it when they started with these mandates.
With the masks?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. We've got nothing to worry about because we've been doing exactly what the Lord requires of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, we try to warn people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's the two of us.
Mm-hmm. People make up their own minds. They have to make their own choice.
Let's see, we're not mad at people. We're not mad at God. Right? We're not...
No.
We don't take time out. We don't hate anybody.
No.
But what we do hate is that spirit that drives them, the deception
right.
they're in, how people in position of leadership have given themselves over to Satan with their talking points and everything.
If we wouldn't care for them, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. We wouldn't tell them the truth because we would just let them be overtaken.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen if they don't listen.
We would do like Jonah. I just read it this morning like Jonah. See, Nineveh's going down. Otherwise, they're going down.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes up and went for it instead of. Mm-hmm. Actually, I just read it this morning. He went out, he ran away from God because he was actually afraid if I go warn them, they might repent
and
God will not be safe. Read it, you can go read it. I read it this morning.
And the reason why we know the Assyrians were a cruel, wicked people, they came over against Israel all the time because they went into apostasy and God allowed it to happen. And so there's God telling Jonah, go and tell
him
and warn him to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought to himself, well, wouldn't I want to see them going under?
Yeah.
So he ran away from God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We went out in the ocean to throw him, I'm the problem, just throw me overboard.
Mm-hmm.
I'd do anything except warn those people. He wanted their demise so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want their demise.
That's right.
We want what's best for them. We got... the last 20 years we worked to save our money to get this mm-hmm. message out, to run this website, to
mm-hmm.
get these books and these CDs sent wherever it moves on our hardware. Mm-hmm. There might be a little bit of hope
mm-hmm.
that somebody would accept what we have to say.
Yeah,
we did it because of you guys. We did it because we care about people.
That's right.
And if you care about people, you tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I get fed up with this lovey-dovey stuff. Oh, you got no love.
Mm-hmm.
You got no love to tell us.
Where
you done
do
your
yeah.
real love.
Mm-hmm.
I get sick of this
their
love
kind of, their kind
language.
Of, their kind of love is this love. I'll illustrate it. There is somebody that will give you advice how to take care of the root problem of your ailment. Okay?
Yeah.
But you don't want that person's advice. They'd rather go over to to the witchcraft doctors
mm-hmm.
and get a band-aid for their ailments and go down their merry old way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who's the one that loves the person
yeah.
at the end of the day? Somebody told me that pharmaceutical company, that whole pharmaceutical thing is sorcery. And that's the same way. People would rather go to the pharmaceutical company, to the doctors, get a Band-Aid instead of going over to somebody who has the cure, the root cure to cure that disease.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell you water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And no, they reject that.
Yeah.
They'd rather go over to this witchcraft
sorcerers
and stuff like that for help and just get a Band-Aid instead of getting healed. Who would not want to be healthy and well and have a happy life and be able to know that you're right with God, that you've done everything that God requires of you? That's the wisdom and the
mm-hmm.
knowledge that it talks about here.
Yeah.
You want to inquire of the wisdom and the knowledge that God has for your day and hour. And be made whole. So that's to me what love is. Talking nice to people and presenting them with all kinds of stuff. Well, that doesn't do nothing for nobody's soul. What does something for somebody's soul is when you tell them the truth, because that's the only thing in the Bible that I read. It says, and
yeah.
the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I call love. That's my version of love. That's scriptural sound version of love. You might not like me, but that's all right. Jesus said they hated me before they hated you.
And John the Baptist, he cared about people.
Mm-hmm.
He cared about Herod.
Mm-hmm.
He told him, Herod, it's not right what you're doing.
That's
he
right.
didn't mean it to
be
to
obnoxious.
To
uh-huh.
kind of get even with him.
Yes,
he uh-huh. just said what he said. Herod, it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right what you're doing. And he got his head chopped off because
right.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing here today, we're getting just the grace of God, you know, that the law of the land, they can't allow them to kill us,
mm-hmm.
otherwise they would.
Mm-hmm.
But the more they do that to us, the more the Lord blesses us. Because we're looking out for their benefit.
Their best interest.
Because
mm-hmm.
we know what's coming. We
That's
know
right.
the program
mm-hmm.
that God has. You reject
mm-hmm.
this here message. And I hate to be, I would just love to sit somewhere under a message
That's
of
right.
trust.
Mm-hmm.
And would be, and when I tell people you come under this message, you're not coming under sand. Whatsoever, you don't even have to see him.
Mm-hmm.
He's nothing. He's just a mouthpiece for the Lord. That's
mm-hmm.
all we are here. There's nothing in us that has any value that can produce anything. We're just doing what we were created to do. God uses our expression, our hand gesture, our vocal cords, everything to get this warning out there.
Mm-hmm. Our life
we got no job. We got no. It's our job, you
and
know.
Our life experiences. You
yeah.
know? That's why he put us through these things, so for their admonition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And God, rich in mercy, they don't have to go find out what God did in the with the prophet. He let me know it in a vision, and now I can tell people that all you got to do is believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Just partake of it. What does it mean? Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Just absorb it. Just take it in. Just believe it. You don't have to go try to prove me wrong. Or try to be jealous because that's what I'm doing. Oh, Sam, you think you're something, eh? You think you got a website. You think this, that, and the other. Well, that's not going to cut it. All you got to do is absorb it, drink it,
mm-hmm.
take part of it,
mm-hmm.
and just thank the Lord for it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be recognized and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Care about people. I want to see every human being on this planet give to that marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's right.
Because I know what's on the other side when you miss the marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's right.
Because all hell is breaking loose. No Holy Spirit here. Satan is cast out of heaven. Woe unto you. You see the woes in the book of Revelation. That's all going to happen
mm-hmm.
right after that rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's right.
Well, the marriage supper will take place while we're having the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Down here all hell breaks loose. You do not want to miss that rapture.
Mm-hmm. The Holy
you
Ghost,
do whatever.
Yeah, the Holy Ghost will be taken out, and then there's war in heaven with Michael and Lucifer, and he gets cast out of heaven, like when you read in Job, he's still able to go back and forth. He's accuser of the of the saint, of the brethren. He accuses them daily, accuses them. And but in the middle of the week of Daniel, he gets kicked out. Then it says, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil is cast down, and he knows he's only got a short time left."
He has great wrath.
And he has great
wrath. You do not want to miss them. I plead with you. Even if you don't like me, if you heard all kinds of stuff about, "Oh, God can't use that guy." Well, he'll use whoever.
He does. He uses who it seems right in his eyes to use.
When his mother came to Jesus, and she said, "I want John to sit to my left, on your left, and James on the right, when you set up your kingdom." And Jesus said, "It's not for me to give. It's given to them that it's designed for. This job has been designed for me from before the foundation of the world, and all the Lord did was the last 67 years to prepare me for what we're doing here today. That's why he gave me this, all these life experiences. That's why he took me through the denominational system. That's why he had me in that Hutterite calling for 40 years. First class dark ages. That's what it is. It's first class what the devil did, what the Roman Catholic Church did in the dark ages. That's what that Hutterite thing is. Slavery, pure slavery. The women can't even drive a car. I think they're doing now. I see quite a few driving around already. But back in my hour, it was so restricted.
And a lot of that no is that, that a lot of the it, I classify it as kind of a false freedom, a false liberty that they that people give people in order to appease them. The real liberty is what is in Christ.
Yeah.
That's where the liberty of freedom is, to walk in Him. And I know there's a lot of things that people will do to appease people.
Just give them a little bit more liberty.
Yes, give them a little more freedom and stuff like that, and that appeases people and thinks like they're really free. But the only real freedom is in Christ.
Yeah. And, that's it. That's been Jesus and them. That's where it starts. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. We care about people. Yeah. That's why we tell them the truth. I don't know what else to say, because here's that. You see it happening now. You see these storms? They're God's wrath. Nobody's going to tell them that.
And you know,
God is laughing. God is mocking.
And you're going to see a lot with that vaccination now too, with that jab, people dying. And a lot of conditions are going to start arising, because it's really a death plan to kill humans. They've been advertising that for years, and because people have not sought God, like it says here in Proverbs and in Isaiah 65, then guess what happens? These people can come in and jab you, because God has been forgotten.
And we're just reminded of something here. Lord, remind me of something. How back in the day when these tornadoes, maybe 5-7 years ago, these tornadoes went through Indiana, and Lord just reminded me of that. Back in the day when the Lord shut down Faith Assembly in that split camp, but the Lord could not move on from Faith Assembly. Alan and Brett, they came up with their false teaching, were in the third and all that stuff. God had to shut it down, move on. God could not move on with that stuff. So he was working on Tim Rutherford, and he could not start nothing new until Tim Rutherford had handed in his resignation. Because I know I was talking with him at that time. And he said, "Well, let me know, he's not going to until Tim volunteers put in his resignation, then he's going to start that work." And then once Tim Rutherford put in his resignation, then the Lord started up that work with grace and truth. I know he did. And the main thing what Tim Rutherford did, he's going to have a minister come in once a month to preach. And that's what God wanted Faith Assembly to do. Brother Jackson mentioned it back in his day. But these two cowboys, Ellen and Bud, they didn't want that program.
Mm-hmm.
So God had to shut that down, and he started with the best that he could have salvage out of Faith Assembly was Tim Rutherford. I know, because I was hands-on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood with him. I wanted him to succeed. I tried everything I could. I told him exactly what's going on. God cannot move until you put in your resignation. Then he called me up. He just handed in resignation. Well, I said, now God can move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started up that work, the grace and truth, and after that split, and barely the split was barely here, and Heffa comes out with the 2 days are done, which is just as bad as we're in the third day. So I called up Tim. Are you aware that Davis and Heffa preached the 2 days are done? Yeah, I'm aware. So what are you going to do? Nothing. Just going to leave it alone. And it almost shocked me that he would, now he's given that mantle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to just leave them alone? Why don't you deal with Davis mm-hmm. like you dealt with Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, but anyways, time went on. There was three things that happened. And Tim, with Tim Rutherford. First, he smashed up his vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And then his son smashed up his car. And then something happened as he was flying. He called me and told me that I called him up, Tim, I had to pray for it today. What's going on? Well, he said he was up in the air and his shutter didn't close down and the co-pilot had to manually shut the shutter, which probably if it wouldn't have shut the shutter, the plane could have nosedived mm-hmm. or something. I don't quite understand the aerodynamics of how it worked. Anyway, there was three things that happened. And I told him, Tim, the Lord's knocking on your door.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be aware. You need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me like if I was put it into words, who do you think you are telling me that the Lord's knocking on my door? If I could put that expression in words,
mm-hmm.
I would even be more aggressive with our man now. I'm just trying to be as gentle with it as I know how to be. But the look he gave me, who do you think you are? You know who I am? Why would the Lord be knocking on my door?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord was knocking on his door. And anyway, that's what I did. That's what I warned him. Well, after I got that look, I could no longer warn him. I know he's not going to take nothing that I say. But I want to attempt to succeed. And I just left that alone. That's your decision. You're in charge of this. I'll support you as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Tim to succeed more than anything.
Yeah.
But I could see the way he was going is it's not going the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went on, the Lord made it so I changed jobs. The Lord got it, so that guy over there laid me off at Dallas, and then I got a job here with this transfer company that takes oats into Louisville just about every week. I got that, delivered those oats into Louisville just about every week. I was able to go to church there Sunday, many times Sunday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there hands-on for 3 years. And then after a year or so, the Lord took me out of there. And I didn't know why, but you always kept telling me. I wonder why Tim is so treats with Davis this way and then with Ellen like that. Is Ellen who he is? But why doesn't he treat Davis the way he does? Well, I was so supporting Tim, I didn't like you here saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would block it out, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I wanted Tim to succeed. But when time went on, the Lord just took me out of mm-hmm. grace and truth. He wouldn't give me no more loads down on the weekend or Thursday. So I was terminated. The Lord terminated me from grace and truth. And then I was down in Vera Beach, Florida. I had one pellet on, and I had all engineered. If I get this pellet off, then I'll be able to go be in church for Sunday and up in grace and truth. And that one pellet didn't let me. And I couldn't get it off before the weekend. So I was sitting there in the motel, so what's going on? How come I wanted so much to be in church? And the Lord said, just relax. I know what I'm doing. The Lord knew what he was doing, but I didn't know why he had me stuck at that motel there. Well, he didn't want me to go up to Temple Church. He wanted me out of there. He didn't want me near that place because they were showing partiality. And I didn't know that. I didn't know, but even though you kept telling me about it, I don't know why he treats them like that. This, well, that's what's why he took me out. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until Tim, the reason the Lord took me out because of Tim's partiality.
Mm-hmm.
And when Tim preached that message, how can I bring in here when I don't agree with you? And I think it's because spiritually at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord opened. Next week, lo and behold, I was down at church again. But something happened before that. I think it was before that. They had convention down at that auditorium there, or that school auditorium or whatever it was. And it was about 110 above. I looked on the internet and I said, I'm going to be 110 above and have to meet. I didn't want to go. So I decided I'm not going to go down there. I decided I'm going to cancel my reservations Monday night, and said Tuesday morning I'm going to phone them up and cancel. Well, that night the Lord came and shut down my organs. And I didn't know why he shut down my organs. And I figured, I should maybe go to the hospital and find it out. But then I thought, this is something else. This is something the Lord's doing. If I go to the hospital, they'll take tests and they'll never find nothing. So I sought the Lord. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me about an hour to figure it out. And then I realized the Lord doesn't want me to cancel that motel. Mm-hmm. He wants me down there at that convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why, so I said, Lord, okay, first thing in the morning, I got it. I won't cancel it. And so I didn't cancel it, and I promised the Lord, I'll be there at that convention. And I didn't know why, but I was there at that convention. And I didn't know why the Lord would, because everywhere I went, everybody I talked to, just, what are you doing here? Like I was a stranger there. I sat down at a certain, I'm not going to mention his name, and he looked at me like, what do you want here? Like I was a stranger there. Even though I went to church with these guys for the last 5 years. And that was in between that time when the Lord had terminated me from going to Grace and Truth. That he wouldn't give me any more loads. I didn't know why the Lord wanted me there. He wanted me there so much that if I don't go there, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of my program and you need to be there. I don't have to tell you why you need to be there. You just need to be there. So I just went there. And like I say, I was practically rejected from everybody. I wasn't called on, not that I wanted to be called on, but when I went to sit with somebody, it looked like, strange, what are you doing? I sit by myself. I just took my food when we went out to the fellowship hall, and I went and sat by myself. And I still didn't know why would the Lord want me there when everybody's rejecting me.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, I realized what I was doing there. And I'll say it now. I was there, and when the Lord was saying, Sam, the way they treat you, that's the way they would treat me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having it. That's the reason I got you there. The way you rejected, that's the way they would reject me. Well, I had hopes. I wanted Tim to succeed. I wanted that place to succeed. I wanted everything what's best for him.
Mm-hmm.
But when finally Tim preached that message spiritually in D&D, how can I bring you in here when we're done an agreement? And then he let it be known he's not going to have anybody in here with a different view.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord gave him a dream. And he told me about the dream. Tim and I, we shared everything. He told me his dream. He saw somebody in the pulpit and he was preaching contrary. And it looked like when he told me the dream, he thought it was me.
Mm-hmm.
That's teaching contrary. Well, first of all, I'm not in no pulpit. I'm not teaching nothing. So if you analyze that dream, it was somebody that's positioned to be in the pulpit, and that certain preacher was preaching contrary to what he believed. I know right away with Davis,
mm-hmm.
because was like the Lord was warning Tim, don't you have nobody in that pulpit with a different view, because Brother Jackson, before he went out, said, this is the Lord's pulpit. I'm responsible for who I let in. In other words, Tim, you need to carry on from where Brother Jackson left off. You don't let nobody in that pulpit that has a different view. And he let Davis in. Finally, I guess the Lord was dealing with him, and the Lord takes me out of there. Finally comes out with a message. How can I let you in here when you have a different view? And he quit that. He just won't let him preach there anymore for a while. Mm-hmm. But see, this is all leading up to this. Then that day, they went down to Fairhope for their New Year's meeting or something. He took the church down there and he asked me to come along. Finally, I told him I'm not going, because there are going to be two line of thoughts there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to put my soul at risk to go down there. Mm-hmm. But that's going on. But anyway, he took the church down there, and I watched it on the internet. It was like a special ambush. You should have seen those people. And I told him why I'm not going. Why would you let go down there when you know very well that David has believed that the 2 days are done? Mm-hmm. Put your people at risk and go there. I didn't warn him about that. I just said, I'm not going. The reason I'm not going, because I was thinking back when I had warned Tim, the Lord's knocking on your door. Mm-hmm. You need to take it, pay attention. And the look he gave me, well, I'm not going to warn him anymore. Just going to, you go do your own thing. They're going to take anything else. I said it as nice as I know how. I'm not going there, and the reason I'm not going there, you know what I'm saying? Short of saying to him, don't go there, don't take a church there either. Mm-hmm. And, but see, I'm not, it's not my church, it's not my position. But at the end of the day, all I wanted him, Tim, was to succeed. But you can't succeed by these kind of measurements, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he invites Tim, Russell Davis up to preach, right, that week after that thing. In the meantime, the Lord sends in a tornado. And he bends that pole over on his building that we're at. That tornado did the only two things. And he sideswipes that building that you're going to buy. In other words, the Lord is saying, I never mind buying a building. That's off the table. Mm-hmm. He's saying it as nice as he knows how, but at the same time, he's leaving Tim to make his own choice. And then that pole on that building, if he would have gone a little bit more, it would have burned up that whole that building where they had church in. So here, they canceled church for Thursday. There's a reason I'm saying all this. It's got to do with tornadoes. That God was given an opportunity to call up Davis. We're not going to have no meeting Sunday. Mm-hmm. Because he canceled the Thursday, but they finally got the poll and they were able to have church on Sunday. So, but God was giving Tim Ralph an opportunity not to have him in. Because mm-hmm. they already wore him. There's somebody in pulpit preaching. Anyway, so this went on. So this tornado comes. And this tornado comes. And giving Tim an opportunity. Don't let Davis in to preach in that pulpit. Mm-hmm. Well, he had him in there to preach. And after he had done preaching Sunday, he asked Davis, where do you stand on the two-day thing? Well, Davis came out and told me, he believes the 2 days are done. Well, then after that, Tim has a convention. And he set it up so, I was told right there when I had a conversation with him at the table when we were having lunch after the Sunday morning service, he asked him, okay, Davis, you're not coming in here to preach again. I'm not going to spend resources and support you when you very well have a different view than we do. You don't believe what we do. But he just left it alone. And in the meantime, Davis invites himself to go down to Brother Still. Brother Still tells me about it. So I tell Brother Still, why don't you just ask Tim Relford? He just had a talk with Davis. He'll give you some good advice. And here, Tim Relford advises Brother Still to have Davis in, knowing full well what he believes. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. what's wrong with that guy? I thought to myself. Mm-hmm. But who am I? I can't tell him nothing. So anyway, so as time goes on, they have a convention. They already had a convention. But they're booking the convention. They got their convention date set for have a convention over where they had it and that auditorium they had before. And here, the Lord comes in with a tornado. You're not going to have that tornado. That tornado practically destroyed that building. That they couldn't have it, the convention, and then in June, July, whenever they had it for that convention. But anyway, the Lord demolished that building. So they couldn't have convention. And I heard about that, those tornadoes coming through there. And this is the reason I'm having this conversation. I heard about this tornadoes, I saw it on the news going through Indiana, southern Indiana. So it's right in the path. And I'm still wanting them to succeed, you know. And this tornado comes through and destroys that auditorium. And what the Lord said, there will be no convention in this building. And what the Lord was doing, he was shutting down Tim Relaford, because it was all about Tim Relaford. It was all about grace and truth at the expense of the Lord. It wasn't about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. It was all about the grace and truth and Tim. And when I heard about that tornado coming through, that morning I listened to Fred. Fred was preaching. I was still listening to Fred at that time. He said, angels are sent to be in charge of the storms. Mm-hmm. The angels keep charge of it. And here's what I saw that Sunday morning, when that tornado went through. I don't know when it was, but here's what I saw. This very scripture here, and I'm going to read to you here. I think God is not out and about with these tornadoes. I tell you where he's at. This scripture came to me when I heard about that tornado. I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. That scripture came to me just like a flood. I couldn't stop. I tried to stop that because here's what the Lord says. I will mock. I literally heard him mock. And that tornado came and I could see exactly what happened. Because the night before, the night before, I think, I listened. Fred Cormier, please. The angels are in charge of the storms, the weather pattern. And I saw the Lord come down. And I saw five angels standing there to keep that tornado at bay and whatever. And I saw the Lord telling those angels, you step back. You're relieved of your duties. Mm-hmm. I'm taking over. And I saw him get on his mower, like one of those lawnmowers with the two handles, mm-hmm. and in the front there's a mower. But it was massive. It was almost as big as a city. That's how massive this, well, not as big as a house, practically. You're relieved of your duties. And I saw the Lord, the God of heaven. And I know he wasn't there, but he was just giving me a vision, mm-hmm. what's going on here with this tornado. I'm fed up with him. I've invested so much in that man. And what does he do? It's all about him. It's all about himself. I'm going to destroy that. And he went on that mower and he did a number on that town. With that mower. Destroyed that town. Then he went into the next building. The next town was practically completely destroyed. Just sticks and stones. Trees laying around. Buildings. Practically destroyed. Because he was so furious. That Tim Relaford, rejecting the warning signs coming along the way, allowing David and his pulpit, and then rejecting what that tornado did to that building, why that pole was bent, rejecting what he's trying to tell him, stay away from buying a building, I don't want you to buy a building, and then doing these conventions just for himself, just to make himself a name. Mm-hmm. And I saw the Lord, he was so furious. Was like saying, I've invested so much in that. And what does he do? Completely don't take no warning for nothing. And God destroyed those two towns simply because of Tim Relaford. That's the truth. I saw him on that moor. I hate to say it like that, but that after that, the Lord completely took me out of grace and truth. And then he got me to pick you up, and I haven't looked back since. Made sure I'd never go there again. Mm-hmm. And they're still doing their powwows 10 years later, you know. But that's my story from the Eastern Ages. Mm-hmm. It's really the Lord mocking. Mm-hmm. It's really the Lord laughing. Because for the last 6 years, they've been mocking God. And God is turning this thing around on them. Mm-hmm. He says, I will mock you. Mm-hmm. I will laugh at you. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on with the disasters out there. People can say what they want. That's God. It's not the devil. Mm-hmm. God is pulling back and let it happen. Mm-hmm. The land is rising up. Read that over where do you find Isaiah 12? Where it said the land can't take it anymore. From all the blood that's spilled. From all these abortions. The land is rising up. Mm-hmm. Sun, the weather, the floods, water, the ocean, everything is rising up because it can't take it anymore. Before this is over, you're going to see that big earthquake out in California is just like hell swallowing everything up. California goes down, slides down into...
Not all of California, so it's like...
Yeah, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, San Francisco, yeah. That area, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Los Angeles slides in, mm-hmm. and San Francisco makes a somersault.
Yeah.
God's had it. It's the mm-hmm. it's the land that can't take this corruption anymore.
That's right.
It's like in the days of Sodom. It couldn't take it anymore, mm-hmm. that fire can. Couldn't stop that fire. It was... It had to go down and do a number on them, destroy it. Mm-hmm. But that's who's behind these storms. That's who's behind these. That's what's going on.
That's right.
It's not like I say, the land can't take it anymore. No. That's why I told you, go into your chamber, close the door, and until His
indignation
is over, mm-hmm. that's what you see out there. God's indignation. Mm-hmm. We don't know how far it's going to go. That bite in the White House, that's God's indignation.
Yes.
That coronavirus, that's God's indignation. Mm-hmm. These floods, that's God's indignation.
It is.
These tornadoes, these storms, all of a sudden you get pretty much hurricanes everywhere. Two or three a day sometimes.
Volcanoes
look at
too,
look at
yeah.
these volcanoes mm-hmm. over there.
Yeah, in Indonesia is one, and then there's one in Italy.
Yeah, there's a few brewing. There's mm-hmm. one in Japan brewing. Mm-hmm. And then there was the one in Hawaii, kind of simmered down some. But see, these are all God's indignation. Mm-hmm. And He told us to go home, close your doors, and wait until it's over. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. The grace of God that He would do that for us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then the grace of God that He would give us all this information to put out there. Not that I'm trying to get even with them. I want them to succeed. Mm-hmm. I like the guy. Mm-hmm. But what do you do when you care about people? You tell them the truth. Okay. He doesn't even know that. That's what's going on. Because mm-hmm. he has never stopped to think and ask God what is going on. Always passing the buck. I heard him say the reason that tornado came to destroy that building. God didn't want us to have church in that auditorium. Mm-hmm. I think it's called an auditorium. So anyway, a school. I think it's an auditorium. God didn't want us to have that. So He wants for a license to build His own. Mm-hmm. Kind of. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing. When they were in the process of building that or buying that, I had this dream. It was kind of comical. I saw Tim and the
Skip
Scottsdale. They were going down this enchanting trail. Oh, what's that trail of enchanting? Drew into a heavy forest, almost like these forests in California. Big pine trees and a nice path, grass, lushy grass and stuff. Turning on a hill down a little bit of a knoll. Oh man, it looked, I was intrigued about how enchanting this trail was. And there's Tim galloping, and there's Skip right behind him galloping along. Well, we're going to find some great thing at the end of this trail. Mm-hmm. I watched him like, God is good, you know. He gave me a vision of that, a dream. I think it was a dream. You come down to the end of the trail. That's not the expression of the faith. At the end of the trail, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. Completely nothing. Just stopped in the middle of the forest, trail stopped. Nothing there. And you see them looking at each other, and they hung their head and walked back up that unchanging trail, not saying nothing. See, that's when they bought that building
mm-hmm.
that they're in there now.
Mm-hmm.
Just a chanting thing.
Mm-hmm.
God had a plan for grace and truth. He wasn't buying a building and make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
Then told me himself, he expects so and so many people to come over from Faith Assembly. Well, not too many coming over. But see, that was his idea. Why don't you go to the Lord, see what the Lord's idea is on this? That's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do, Lord? Well, the Lord woke me up. 6 o'clock in the morning, saying, I want you to start up this website. Well, like I told you over and over again, I didn't have done about no website. But anyway, that's why we're doing this, because God's rich in mercy for you people out there, so that you can be taught, that you don't have to go through what the Lord has taken me through in the last 30, 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Of fucking all my life. So that when the time comes to bring out that meat, the new season, and to roll out that living water, I'll have experience. I've had hands-on experience. That's what he created me for. That's just my makeup. That's my job. When we were trucking, we did a good job. When they had a tough load to deliver, they called on us. Could you deliver that load for us? You know, we'd get the job done. And here's the same thing. We're still working, but this time we're working for the Lord. And we get the job done. And we don't have to pay. We're not getting paid for no. This is all our money. We saved our money to do just this, that. That's why it says out there, come and drink freely. It's free. It's for free. We even send you the books for free. Everything is for free. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. I never used to know what that scripture means. What's that water of life? What's that? What is it anyway? Well, this here message. This here truth. And you reject this invitation to marriage supper. That's the rejection of all rejections. What you rejected in the past can be forgiven. But if you reject this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Katie barred the door. Because on the other side of that rapture, believe you me, it's a hell that you don't even want your worst enemy to experience. That's why we're putting out these messages. We got nothing against them. We got nothing against these people that we mention their names. We like people.
Mm-hmm.
We want them all to make it. But I'm not going to be like Jonas, go up and wait for their demise. I'll send out the warning gladly. I'll go a 3-day journey through that city and I'll do whatever it takes to warn people, because I know what's on the other side of that. You missed that rapture. And here it is, for whosoever will. Take it. Take the waters of life freely. Because, like I say, you do not want this on your worst enemy. And I know there's a lot of people. They're going to go there. They're not going to accept what you have, like that dyke. That dyke here two, three weeks ago. All my life I've been trying to, ever since I've known them, ever since I come to the message, I've been trying to tell them, Ike, it's this message here,
mm-hmm.
Brother Brevin, baptism in Jesus' name. And every time he would dig his heels in further
mm-hmm.
and mock this whole thing. And then here 2-3 weeks ago he died. Left a wonderful family behind. Simply because he kept rejecting and rejecting and rejecting, hardening his heart, that he even affected his lungs. That they got so hard that he couldn't breathe. He's done. 7 years of his life wasted. A wonderful family. What has he got? Nothing. Simply because reject. That's what people do. They do it to themselves. And we're just trying to warn them because we care about them. I like that. I spent a lot of time with them talking about spiritual things back in the day before I came to the ministry of Brother Brennan. And after that, there was not much we could talk about. Just like, you know how conversation is. When you kind of walk on eggshells,
mm-hmm.
that's the only conversation you could have. I couldn't go into the deep things.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had to just stay in his demand, so to speak. But anyway, that's I could see a lot more. But let the Lord speak to people. That out there, that's God mocking. That's God laughing. Because that's God's judgment on the nation. Because you got it right from us. You got it right from the Lord. Wait till his indignation is over. Mm-hmm. And we put our trust in him. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our family. He's going to take care of things. But we did our part. We did everything we know to do. We do a lot more. What more can you do? Work it for 20 years. Save our money for this. So I didn't know it was... I just didn't have nothing to spend money on. I love my job. We went out there every... for loads, and we did everything we could because we're working for the company. You got to do what they tell you, you know. I don't think we refused too many loads. I think we refused one or two, and we did the best we knew how. And here again, we're doing the best we know how because it's our job. Mm-hmm. People don't like it when we mention their names. Well, repent. Apparently, Herod didn't like it when John told him. It's not right what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to like this what we're doing. But we care about you. That's why we're telling you. Mm-hmm. We care about the Hutterites. That's why we're telling them these things. But it's... And sick and tired of this lovey-dovey stuff. Love, love, love. A satanic love. Mm-hmm. Not telling people the truth. Like Jonah. He didn't love those Ninevites. He wanted their demise. Mm-hmm. I just read it this morning. Mm-hmm. It just came up on my... Mm-hmm. I do Bible thing every day, you know. Every day it's 3 chapters, something else. Well, it happened to fall on Jonah chapter 1 today. I didn't even know that was in there, where he knew very well, if I go and preach that, they're going to repent, and God's going to save them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want God to save them. So what does he do? He goes down to Joppa and gets a ship.
He wants to go way out to Tarshish.
Yeah, he goes. He wants to go way running from God.
The opposite direction.
Yeah, but he don't want. He want that. He want them Nineveh destroyed. Mm-hmm. Well, then he grumbled with God. Why are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't do it in the first place. See the tick for tat there. He got. Goes up somewhere so he can sit under the shade, and then he sends a worm to, then he sends a hot wind to dry up the sends in a worm to destroy that shade he had there, eh?
That so shows the God's mercy that if people repent, that he his wrath will be. Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, should I have mercy on these people? Look at them, they don't even know a day from night, a lot of them. They don't know right from wrong. Mm-hmm. And have mercy on them. Why would you grumble over that? And here's the same thing. We got mercy on those people. They don't like what we tell them. They don't like when we mention the name. They don't like when we're so upfront, like God is so furious with him. I invested so much in that man. And look at how he let me down. It's all about him. Mm-hmm. It's all about putting a feather in his hat. It's all about reason and truth. It's all about Tim Relliford. He's taking the glory that's been for me, and he's taking it to himself. I will share my glory with no man. And I saw him on that mower. And I'm, oh, please, Lord, don't. Stop it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not stepping for nothing. I'm going to step when I'll be done. And he raised that. That first time wasn't bad, but that second time was completely demolished. There was not one building standing there. I don't know what that... What's the name of that town there where they had their meetings? Henryville. That town called Henryville. You could still drive by there 10 years later and see the demolished. I saw him on that board. You're relieved of your duties. I'm just paraphrasing it. And I ain't stopping until I'm stopping. He was furious. I drove through that town with them. Tip of my tongue, tell them that town got demolished because of you. That's what I should have told them. But I didn't. So I'm saying it now. But he'll repent. What would have done about it, all of that back then? He was so high on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky the kids were out of school. They let the kids out early, I think, enough around 4 or 3 in the afternoon. The kids were going home already. Otherwise, Heavenly Father, we just had a conversation around your word. I just pray you'll take what we said. It's all chopped up and this way and that way and Lord, but I pray somehow you put it together. If that increase, let people get the drift of what you're trying to say here. We don't hate people. We're not seeking for their demise. We're not like Jonah. We once was best for people. We would take them all in if we could, but we know we can't. You got to meet the conditions. So do we. To this day, we have to meet the conditions. So you can take care of us, that you've prepared us for this day, and I don't know if we're not living it. I pray, Lord, you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's a pretty hard nut to crack. That's God's fury.
Oh, yes. So people don't see God that way, but then...
You gotta get out of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Meet the due season. Once I hear that. And like that, they don't want people to find out what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that guy who met that Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting there all smug and all smiles and smug. 2 weeks ago, his son died. The reason he died because he rejected what we had to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there like he doesn't want people to find that out. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. You see him sit there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went over and talked to him. And so on. Called it a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
Called it going down a rabbit hole. I said, that's not a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it takes it serious. You see it with Ike and
his
son dying. And you know, that's what's shocking, how serious God looks at these things, you know. Like, even, for example, that tornado, you know, you don't want to see God in that light. But it's the harsh reality of rejecting Him, and then that those things are bound to happen.
I was literally transported down to Henryville. And I literally saw, telling these angels, you're relieved of your duty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a number on this thing here.
Because mm-hmm. they're in charge of the laws of nature.
Yeah.
The angels.
That's what I heard Fred say.
Mm-hmm.